Now, yesterday on the show, we reviewed the movie The Fault in Our Stars, which is based on a young adult novel by the author John Green. I just asked who's John Green. I didn't realise. Right. Oh, no wonder I was being laughed at. Sorry. Anyway, it's not just teens, by the way, who are big fans of the author and his lucrative book, because as he acknowledged himself many times in interviews, he's just as many adult fans. In fact, the genre that is young adult fiction, or YA as it's known in the industry, is booming. And there's plenty of grown-ups, those of us over the age of 18, I suppose, who are perfectly happy to be seen sitting on a bus or on the beach reading a book that was written with a much younger audience in mind. So why are so many people in their 30s, 60s, and even 80s happily indulging in young adult fiction these days? Well, the two people in front of me here who were laughing obviously earlier on because I didn't realise that John Green was the guy are Claire Hennessy and Deirdre Sullivan, and welcome to the programme. You are young adult book authors, right? I can put it that way. Claire, I'll start with you, the founder of this unique book club. What am I talking about here? Why did you decide to set it up?
I suppose because, you know, when you're reading YA fiction, there's a tendency for adults who don't quite get what it is to sort of to look at you sympathetically and go, oh, can you not read like a proper book? And people, I think, who are very into it sort of know that actually there's, you know, there's such a range of great YA titles out there. So I kind of thought, let's kind of stick together and, you know, sort of read these books and kind of appreciate them. And I think as well, a lot of people who read YA fiction, they have this tendency to sort of talk about like, you know, but would this be sort of like suitable for my daughter or, you know, that kind of stuff, or my students? And it's like, no, like, you know, who cares? Let's talk about them as books. Because there's so much kind of great stuff out there, and it's just kind of nice to actually look at them as texts, you know, and sort of go like, well, you know, like, do we like the characters? What do we think of this plot twist? Wasn't the, you know, what do we think about that? Was this a little bit problematic? You know, what do we kind of feel about, you know, that kind of stuff? Overanalyzing them, basically. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a book club for you. There's no harm in that. Deirdre, why did you end up joining?
Well, I knew Claire from her writing and from her blog, where she like recommends YA books to read, and that's like brilliant. So, and then I got to meet her through writing events and through each other's books and things. And she invited me to join, and I thought it was a great idea. It's one of the only book clubs I've been a member of where people actually talk about the book for most of the meeting, which is really nice and refreshing.
Okay, like, I mean, this is not something new. This has been around for like lots of years in one way. But for some reason, there's a focus on it now. Why is there a focus? Why is it so visible now? Why has it been talked about so much now, this YA thing, the young adult fiction?
I think there's more of it. There's more of it, and there have been sort of big successes. Do you know, like, we're living in sort of a post Harry Potter world where you've had sort of like big things, like, so you've had Twilight and you've had The Hunger Games and you've had John Green. So big successes like that mean
my friend just, John,
your good friend John, who you know all about, and you follow his Tumblr.
God Almighty, I'll never be forgiven for all of this. No, I don't follow his Tumblr, and neither do I follow all the people going to see this movie and sending selfies of themselves. You were saying this, Claire, Deirdre, but they're selling selfies about how much they can cry.
Yeah, they're posting crying selfies of themselves on Twitter, which, you know, fair enough, it's probably going to make me cry when I see it as well. Like,
yeah, well, I believe it's a big movie. You get free Kleenex going in, The Fault in Our Stars. It's massive. So anyway, sorry, I interrupted you there.
There's money in this stuff, you know, and I mean, when you have kind of big successes, I mean, this is kind of how publishing works generally. Like, when there's big successes, it means that there's just more money in the pool generally. So, you know, like, one of the things that we've seen over the last, say, 10 years is like bookshops are just devoting more shelf space to YA, and they're having these sections that are sort of further away from the kids section, so that it's actually okay for teenagers to sort of, you know, to go there and not sort of feel like, oh, they're, you know, they're regressing in some way. You know, so that's kind of important. Like, there's just more to choose from, you know, there's more attention being paid. So.
Okay, so why do, like, would you, Deirdre, why would you see the appeal, if you like, to adults, which is like, you know, you've got vested interest in the genres, both the two of you, but there are plenty of young adult readers who don't write at all and just love to read. So why are they reading?
Well, I think young adults, we've all, like, if you reach adulthood, you've been a young adult, you've been a teenager.
Yeah.
So you remember what that feels like and you can identify with it. And I think, like, why I find it really inspiring to write about as well as to read about is all the first times, like, everything is so kind of, there's an intensity there. You know, you don't have to worry about career. You're in school with the same gang of people all the time and your parents tell you what to do. And everything you're experiencing is kind of new. You're negotiating your way from like childhood through adulthood. by like acquiring different experiences. And that's just really fascinating to me.
And is there a big difference, if you like, between how teenagers are written in books meant for adults and how they're written in young adult books? Is that really one of the core things that kids are, that young adults get this? That's the difference.
Yeah, I think when you're writing about teenagers for an adult audience, there's kind of an expectation that the adult reader is going to sort of be, you know, sort of look, you know, not quite looking down on them, but sort of, you know, reading it in a different way. You know, like if in an adult book, a teenager says, you know, this is the end of my world, you know, you're sort of like you're expected to read that and sort of go, oh, sweetie, you know. And in a YA novel, when a teenage character says that, you're kind of expected to go, yeah, like it is, you know, it is the end of your world for now. You really feel that, you know. So I think there's that. I think there is that taking teenagers seriously in YA fiction that, I mean, you can get in sort of an adult fiction, but there's, I think, a greater expectation that the reader is kind of just a little bit, is not quite engaging and relating and empathising in the same way.
Okay, so the whole Harry Potter phenomenon is something you've mentioned earlier on. That might have been a door that might have been, open. But wouldn't it be fair to say, though, that there are books in the past that were read by adults, but technically they were young adult fiction. They just weren't marketed that way. Maybe The Catcher in the Rye, I don't know.
Catcher in the Rye is like, yeah, the classic example, because it has all the stuff that YA fiction, particularly sort of like realistic YA fiction, tend to do, you know. So it has that sort of first person narrator, and he's like a little bit snarky, and he's kind of cursing but not too much, and he's, you know, talking about sex, and he's edgy, and he's having like all these kind of problems, and he has sort of like one kind of like good adult in his life who says stuff, but then like the rest of them are just, you know, damn phonies. And you know, it's the classic sort of YA novel, but it wasn't marketed in that way, because I think a big part of sort of the marketing of YA coincides with kind of the rise of the teenager as a kind of, I suppose, kind of cultural group, you know, sort of from the sort of mid 20th century onwards, you know.
Okay, well, this whole YA movement, which it seems to be, what do you think, Deirdre, makes a young adult book young adult? It's not just having a teen as the main character, is it?
No, it's not. And young adult, like, it's kind of, it's not a genre, it's a demographic. So it just means books that are marketed to young adults. So
what age are we talking? Can I put any parameters?
I would say from like 12 to 18.
Right, okay.
Could read young adult fiction, because they're definitely able readers read books where the protagonists are older than they are.
Yeah.
It's hard to like kind of get a kid to read a book about younger kids because they think it's like babyish or something. But young adult fiction, there's like horror there, there's romance, there's paranormal romance.
All right, so of course, it's right across the board, romance. Yeah. And of course, like, you're saying it's not necessarily a genre as such, but there are an awful lot more adult fiction writers who are now trying their hand at writing the YA stuff. So do you think it's kind of, I don't know, the cool genre, if you like, to be writing in at the moment, if I can call it a genre? I mean, after all, you two have been writing young adult stuff for quite some time, but it seems to be the fashion now.
We were doing it before it was cool, man.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
Before this John Green fella came along and made it all hip and groovy.
Yeah, but if he made it all hip and groovy, is he making your bank balance better, is he?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, I think, you know, again, like we're living in sort of a post-Harry Potter, post-Twilight world. So, I mean, there is definitely more money in YA fiction than there would have been previously, you know. So I think that is the reason why some adult writers are kind of, you know, trying to get in there. And I think as well, people are just sort of taking it seriously and sort of going like, oh yeah, like I've always wanted to write something that, because I mean, teenagers are such intense readers, you know, and I think people have very fond memories of the books that they read as a teenager. So I think a lot of people are sort of trying to, I suppose, kind of provoke that experience in other people, you know.
Okay, well, the word provoke, I'm going to try it now. I'm going to read you out a piece from an online article written by an American journalist who discusses the phenomenon of adults reading. You probably know what it is, but other people don't, so I'm going to read it. The emotional and moral ambiguity of adult fiction, of the real world, is nowhere evident in young adult fiction. These endings are for readers who prefer things to be wrapped up neatly, our heroes married or dead or happily grasping hands looking to the future. But wanting endings like this is no more ambitious than only wanting to read books with likeable protagonists. Fellow grown-ups, at the risk of sounding snobbish and joyless and old, we are better than this. Now, that's from an article on Slate.com written by Ruth Graham, who got a major backlash on social media. So what do you think of that?
Oh God, it's boring. Do you know, it's incredibly tedious. This is the same argument that has been tossed out for, and not just about YA, but I mean anything that, you know, people have been complaining about what especially women, and like, I don't want to go on a big feminist rant, but like, people have been worrying about sort of what women have been reading, you know, since the kind of creation of the novel as a form, you know, sort of worrying that it's going to be, you know, damned. And it's like, like, you know, yes, of course, it is snobbish and it is joyless and it's tedious. It's like, no, you know.
Okay, so you would not approve of Miss Graham. Okay, what about you, Dudu?
I think it's ill-informed, because there are an awful lot of YA books that don't fit the tropes that she describes. It sounds like she read The Fault in Our Stars, didn't much like it and decided that was YA fiction, which is kind of very problematic. I don't really have much time.
We could do this every week, and Deirdre, you can be Johnny Giles, and you're definitely Eamon Dunphy. No question about it, Claire. Okay. All right. Well, listen, look, somebody who hasn't indulged in young adult fiction, or certainly at least since they were an actual teen themselves, and I'm talking here about older people reading these books as opposed to the ones who are know all about them and will go anyway, and especially with the movie now as well, The Fault in Our Stars. What's the first book that you'd recommend that they read to get a real sense of what, and I know you're not calling it a genre, but I'm going to call it that for the moment, of what the genre is capable of?
This is really hard. This is like being asked to pick your favourite child, you know, because there is so much out there. I think for realistic YA, I would choose, I mean, anything by Laurie Halse Anderson, who is an American
writer.
Who?
What? Start that again.
Laurie Halse Anderson. She's written this amazing book called Speak, which is about a 14-year-old girl who goes through something very upsetting and stops talking. But it's very funny and it's very sad and it's very honest. And it actually doesn't have sort of like a happy, unrealistically cheerful ending. You know, it has kind of a slightly hopeful one, but not a, you know, I think it's a really sort of complex and interesting text, so I would be pushing that into
what age were you when you read that?
I was, do you know, I think I was 13 when I read it. I've reread it since, right. But it's stuck with me.
And powerful, and stuck with you, yeah, as a memory of what it was when you read it first, or even now it has resonance?
Even now, you know, right. I mean, I think the best YA books, in the same way that the best, you know, the best children's books, the best adult books, are ones where when you reread them, you find more to appreciate.
Yeah, okay. You know. Now, I presume, dear, you probably don't have one because you're the, it's not a genre, it's a demographic person.
I have a few. I love Tender Morsels by Margot Lanigan. It's a really big, thick, dense book, and it's brilliant. It's kind of based off a fairy tale, and it's really, really upsetting and dark and just
really twisted. Yeah,
yeah, it's just beautifully, beautifully written. I love it. And for kind of a beach read, like, I love Sarah Manning stuff. I find it so comforting and so clever and just so interesting.
And again, are you talking about something that you would have read while you were between the ages of 14 and 18 or whatever?
Yeah, not with Margot Lanigan. I came to her when I was in my 20s.
Right, so you are the classic example of what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But an older person going back to read stuff that isn't necessarily supposedly meant for you, but is.
Yeah, exactly. And I do that all the time. I find new YA writers that I really enjoy.
And what books, by the way, have proven popular in the book club over the last 2 years? I mean, were there any real standout books that everybody loved?
We do have sort of, sometimes we have very controversial, you know, sort of picks. But, I mean, two books that have really stood out were The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, which is a terrific book. I would recommend it to everybody.
Terrible thing is, I've seen the movie, I suppose. The movie's terrible.
The movie's always terrible.
I knew you'd say that.
I'll read the book though, it's brilliant.
Yeah, but can I just say, like, I didn't go to the cinema to read a book. I went to the cinema to see a movie, so I'm not even going to compare it with the book. By the way, yeah. I haven't read the book.
Yeah, read the book. It's amazing. It's narrated by death, you know, so it's super.
That's right.
It's really super. There's also a terrific book by Dodie Smith, who's probably better known for 101 Dalmatians, but she has this amazing teenage book called I Capture the Castle, and it's just super. Yeah.
It's terrific. Gorgeous.
There is also a terrible movie made of that, but, you know, we're going to gloss over that.
I was just going to say, the movie, yeah. Say nothing. All right, okay. So listen, finally then, just the two of you yourselves, I mean, let's get the big bit out of the way here. You've got books, right, I presume? YA books.
We
Claire Hennessy,
Dear
to Sullivan. Okay, what have you got, Claire?
So I've published a number of YA titles, and my latest book is actually for kind of way and a little bit younger. It's called Seeds of Liberty, and it's historical, and there's no kissing, but there's lots of death. So
is it any good?
It's brilliant, and I think everybody should buy it. And
right, okay, what's it called again?
Seeds of Liberty.
Seeds of Liberty. Yeah. Okay, I must check that one out. Absolutely, yeah. That's from Claire Hennessy. Deirdre Sullivan.
My new book got launched this week. Yeah, it was really exciting. It's called Prim Perfect, and it's the
P-R-I-M.
Yeah, Prim Perfect. Right. Her name is Primrose, and she's imperfect.
Ah, right.
So I did a thing.
You did. I can see that. Yeah, Prim Perfect. Yeah, take it off the PR and you have it.
Yeah, anyway, it's the final book in a trilogy that I wrote about Primrose and the loss of her mum. So. Yeah, but it's funny.
It is terrific.
It she's looking at me crestfallen. It's the final in the trilogy. I didn't know there was a one and two.
Well, sure, you don't even know who John Green is.
I do now. I bloody well know who John Green is now. Well, listen, folks, congratulations and thank you very much indeed. And good luck with both your current releases, I suppose I can call
thank
them. Yeah,
you.
And,
thanks
and
very
onwards
much.
And upwards. Does it mean you're going to make less money when YA falls into a pit? No.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that. No, it's going to go on forever.
Is it? Right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, that movie is really packing them in. All right. Listen. Thanks a million for dropping in, Claire Hennessy and Deirdre Sullivan.